The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. My name is Alex Dunn and I've been joined by John Budden in the studio to look ahead to the best of Wednesday's action. We're going to look at one race at Ayr as well as two at Carlisle. A welcome return to domestic action following the abandonment of Leicester, Banger and Redcar yesterday. We'll have Ross Briley, James Millman and Gareth Topham as your studio team. On Wednesday, they'll be live from 12:40 p.m. with all of the action. So, as I mentioned, I'm Alex Dunn. I've been joined by John Budden. How's things, John?
I'm very good indeed, Alex. And we had some excellent racing on Monday from Ireland.
We did indeed. Obviously, a shame to lose the domestic action, but the Irish stepped in admirably. And, it's just nice to get the domestic back, isn't it?
It is, actually.
We will kick things off by just discussing some news that broke last night. It's in today's Racing Post, and that is that Tom Queeley, our very own Tom Queeley, of course, does a lot of previews for us. He will not be riding for Lady Cecil as a retainer next year. He's going freelance. What do you make of that news, John?
Well, first of all, not a surprise, Alex, by no means a surprise. One feels that once James Doyle had got all the rally choice rides for Khalib Abdullah, that Tom's volume of quality at Warren Place was definitely reduced, and the decision to go freelance is perfectly reasonable and I think likely to be very successful. No disloyalty to Lady Cecil or to Warren Place. He's obviously done very well there, but he's a top-class jockey and he wants to make the best use of his opportunities.
Absolutely. Do you think that it's just the fact that the Khalid Abdullah job went to James Doyle? Do you think that's sort of the thing that had the biggest effect on it?
Well, I would have thought so. Of course, I can't speak personally for Tom Queeley, but I would have thought so. Certainly, the volume of quality at Warren Place, owned by Khalib Abdullah, was definitely the greatest of all the stables that James Doyle was likely now to be riding horses for Khalid. And it wouldn't surprise me if Ryan Moore were to go the same way, in fact, at Michael Stout's. But there, the damage was not as serious as far as mounts were concerned, because although Khalib Abdullah's got some very decent horses at Michael Stout's, there are lots of other really good owners with valuable top-class horses. The better horses at Warren Place were owned by Khalib, or are owned by Khalid Abdullah, and I think Tom Queeley is perfectly reasonable to decide to go freelance, and I'm sure it will be pretty successful.
Obviously hard to envisage this if you go back just over a year, of course, when he was riding Frankel. And but anyway, as you said, he could certainly make a success of this, and he's been riding recently for different stables. He's been riding for the likes of George Margeson, Scott Dixon. He's been picking up rides for, so certainly not the end of the world for Tom. And on Saturday, Dave Kellner will be talking to him ahead of Saturday's action, and I'm sure he'll be asking his thoughts. So make sure you tune in for that. We will look now at three races on Wednesday. We'll kick things off with the 3:30 at Ayr. It is a handicap over a mile and two furlongs with 10 runners down to go to post. An interesting contest this, over the 10 furlongs. Heavy going, you'd imagine, John, and this might just take a bit of getting.
Yes, we've got an interesting Irish raider, haven't we? Which is being ridden, I think, by Tom Madden, Socks Madden.
And he's created quite an impression, hasn't he, over in Ireland?
He certainly has, and Dad had a winner on Monday too.
He's certainly one of the up-and-coming apprentices, if you like. I know Andy Holding thinks a lot of him. Obviously, he does a lot of the Irish stuff for us, and he's likened him to the likes of Conor King, who, of course, have come through and riding really well. And he strikes me as we're seeing in England at the minute, Oisin Murphy is the man to be on, if you like. And Tom Madden, having seen him ride, is perfectly capable, you know, great style already for someone so young, and takes the valuable £7 off. So he's here and there to ride two horses, one in the 3:34 Seamus Fahy, and that is Randall's Alana. Now, tricky to get a sort of form line on her, isn't it, John, with the Irish racing, but you'd have to respect her.
You would have to respect her, yes. I find it almost impossible to correlate the form in modest races like this of horses trained in Ireland and those trained in the UK. So I'm going to actually oppose, but it will be interesting to see how Tom gets on at Ayr this afternoon. I'm with Uncle Britt here for Malcolm Jefferson and PJ MacDonald. Uncle Britt will love the ground. He always has done. And he's also a horse who gallops on. I can't quite understand why Connections opted to bring him back to 7 furlongs last time out at Newcastle, after he had won previously over a longer trip. On the penultimate occasion, Uncle Britt came to the front at the furlong marker and gradually drew clear. A gritty performance. He was outpaced over 7 furlongs and, not surprisingly, was beaten. Actually ran on quite well to finish 4th. The trip at Ayr is 10 furlongs. The ground is right. I think Uncle Britt is still relatively well handicapped, and I think he'll be hard to beat.
OK, then. Uncle Britt, who, of course, was running over hurdles in early 2012, so certainly has stamina in abundance, and with the testing ground, certainly looks a player for the Jefferson team there in the 3:30 at Ayr. The next race that we'll look at is the 3:15 from Carlisle. We'll change race courses and indeed change codes. It's a handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles. 10 runners down to go to post again. And an interesting race this. We've got the likes of Ballyben, Border Phoenix and Ratlin, who won last time out, but there's also a few in here that are very, very consistent and would have to have chances.
Yes, Nigel Tristan Davis has got a runner here, hasn't he, Alex? Which is that one?
That's Big Casino. Only the three career starts, all with Carl Burke. He obviously moves to Nigel Tristan Davis now, and a 7-year-old, but still pretty unexposed.
Yes, a very much lightly raced sort, and Nigel Twiston Davis, of course, joins a large number of southern trainers, major operators, who have finally recognised that Carlisle is a top class jumping course. And it is excellent, there's no doubt about that. I regard it as the best jumping venue in the north of England, and I know I'm biased because it's my local course, but the Charlie Longstons, the Tom Georges, the Donald McCains and the Nigel Twiston Davises all back up that particular view.
And as we saw the other day, the John Joe O'Neills as well.
Absolutely right. Of course, John Joe himself had trained not far from Carlisle for a long, long time, and opened up his sort of career as a junior jockey for Nicky Richards' father. So, you know, there is a tremendous following for jump racing at Carlisle, and I'm not surprised. Big Casino is an interesting runner in this race. But I'm going to go for the top one, Purcell's Bridge, Alex. This is trained by Rose Dobbin, whose horses are going particularly well at the moment. She's had a pretty thin time of it over the past 2 seasons, but all lights appear to be green at the moment, and her horses look well and are running well. Purcell's Bridge was a little bit of a dicey jumper last year. He fell on a couple of occasions when looking as though he was travelling extremely well, but he did nothing wrong first time out at Wetherby this time round. He was a good second. He looked like winning, I thought, turning out of the back straight, but he found life for it going too strongly up the home straight. but ran on quite well to finish second in a competitive race. He's got plenty of weight here, but he's been ridden by young Sean Dobbin, who's Tony's nephew, and as, of course, Sean is riding for his home stable, he gets £10 off. So I think Purcell's Bridge, with £10 off from Sean Dobbin, ought to be a major contender here.
OK, then, Purcell's Bridge for the Dobbin team there in the 3.15. The final race that we'll look at is the 3.50 from Carlisle. It's a handicap chase over 2 miles, with 9 runners down to go to post. Certainly a lot of consistent types here, John. Where should we start here?
Well, we could start with Malcolm Jefferson. He's got a Firth of Clyde in this contest. And Malcolm Jefferson is a Cumbrian, of course, born at Motherby, just a few yards down the road from Greystoke, and has spent most of his time at Greystoke in his early racing career, and then moved, of course, to train on the other side of the Pennines. But he loves coming back to Cumbria and to train winners at Carlisle. Firth of Clyde, unexposed sort, being ridden by Brian Hughes, who's in top rate form, has to go well first time out. There are one or two horses running first time out in this race. He could be certainly one for the notebook. Rupert Bear, for example, is another from Jimmy Walton's Northumbrian yard. Jimmy was a top-class amateur rider in his time, a great point-to-point rider as well, and his niece Catherine is riding extremely well and maintaining the family tradition. Rupert Bear represents them here, and likes a soft ground, ran pretty well over hurdles last year, could be interesting. But I've got to go nap here. I'm going on Swaledale Lad, Alex. Richard Ford trains. Harry Challoner has always ridden this horse and claims £5 off. And Swaledale Lad, a useful horse in his younger days, ran well in bumper company at Sedgefield. I remember him winning by 30 lengths at Bangor, first time out over hurdles. Went on to run pretty well in better company over hurdles. And I like the way he's made the transition to chasing. Ran well at Bangor first time out, finished third in quite a good race, won I think by one term, but ran extremely well at Carlisle last time out. Second to Up to Something, one of the horses sent up by Charlie Longsdon on that occasion, ridden by Noel Feely, class animal, did the job well, but Swaledale Lad pushed him all the way to the line, and there was just one moment in the closing stages that I thought Swaledale Lad was going to get up. I think the form of that race is good. Swaledale Lad will be extremely fit. It'll be his third race of the autumn. He jumps well, and I should be disappointed, basically, if he doesn't win.
OK, then, Swaledale Lad, who certainly has shown promise right from the start of his career. I remember being at Sedgefield when he made his bumper debut behind Donald McCain's Bahira. And the saddle slipped on that occasion, but still ran on to finish third under a very young Joe Colliver then. Certainly has promised, one I've kept my eye on, and certainly has to go close in the 3.50 at Carlisle. And it is your nap, isn't it, John?
It is mine. Well, it's definitely going to be my nap, yes.
Okay, then. So Swaledale Lad, the nap in the 3.50. Could you just sum up your three picks, the three tracks on Wednesday, please?
Yeah, in the 3.30 at Dale, we go for Uncle Britt and Malcolm Jefferson. In the 3.15 at Carlisle, top one, Purcell's Bridge for the Dobbin family. And in the 3.50, Richard Ford, Swaledale Lad will be the nap.
Great stuff, John. Enjoy the action and good luck with those selections.
Thank you, Alex.
This is William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track. Email us, studio@williamhill.co.uk. Contact us on Twitter @WillHillRacing.